connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board as we face the issues each and every day. And may I say to you, it is our prayer, our desire to see you grow in the knowledge of the Word of God. It is our prayer and desire that you be found faithful in the Scripture. And because of the subject that we're dealing with, very similar to the issue that we dealt with on yesterday's broadcast, I want to say to you that it is imperative in the day and hour in which we're living to know the Word, to know the book. Never will forget a number of years ago, Dr. Herbert Lockyer, an English statesman, theological academic with a wonderful mind about the Scripture. In his lifetime, he published probably 50 to 60 books, all of them dealing with theological doctrinal issues. Had the privilege of having him do a study, a seminar in the college university that I was studying in at the time. This is back in the early 80s, late 70s. I had the privilege of taking Dr. Lockyer back to his place of residence while he was visiting from England to America for the seminars each year. And on one occasion when I asked him advice on what would he advise a young preacher at that time, I'm still under 100, but a young preacher at that time, what advice would you give? And he picked his Bible, well-worn, well-used, appearance of being used. He picked it up off his left knee, holding it in his right hand. We were in the car, taking him back home. And with his frailty even of that time, with the Bible in his hand shaking, he said, No, this book. The third time he said, no, this book. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know of any better advice that I could give today than to know this book. And knowing the Word of God, we will avoid the pitfalls, the problems, and the dangers that lie ahead because of so many Christians today, so many denominations today, and so many pastors that are ignorant, and I say that with all due benevolence, ignorant of the Word of God. And as a result of that, they're teaching contrary to the Scripture, teaching contrary to the Word of God. In fact, saying that the Bible, in many instances, in many areas, ought to be jettisoned, that the Ten Commandments no longer are applicable to the Christian today. So we'll be talking about what would Jesus do, or better yet, what would Jesus say or do in relationship to the LGBTQ sodomite agenda that's so prevalent today. It's evident that we have many pastors and churches and Christians that simply are ignorant of what God's Word says about the gross, immoral sin of homosexuality. Or they really know what the Bible says. They know what the Bible warns against. But out of a desire to embrace the world and fill the pews in the churches, they're simply denying the truth of the clear teachings of God's Word. We're going to talk about that today. But let me remind you, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. We'll have a brief monologue, and after the monologue, our telephone lines are open, inviting your call, dialogue, and discussion. And as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. It is the truth book. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further, a declaratory statement is made in John 17:17, where Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." It's the truth of the word of God that should stand. In fact, in Psalms 117:2, the scripture says, "The truth of the Lord stands forever, endures forever, never faltering, never failing, never ceasing to be truth." It was the secularist George Orwell that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it." And we find that to be very, very true, if I can use that term today. Very, very true, whether it's talking about theological, doctrinal, biblical issues, if it's talking about political, social, economic issues. If you were to tell the truth that we had a stolen election in 2020 and 2022, then it's called disinformation, misinformation, and dissed by so many in society today. If you say that the COVID pathogen was created in a laboratory, released purposely to be a mass genocide on a global basis, then that's considered a lie. That's considered disinformation and misinformation rather than being truth. Everything that's true is being reversed today and called a lie. In fact, the latest survey shows that 55% of the millennials, 18 to 35-year-old age group, talking about truth, the 18 to 35-year-old age group, 55% say that each person determines his or her own truth. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And so, and by the way, Jan Hus, that same one that made that statement, the 15th century theologian and church reformer, while being burned at the stake, while dying, he said, "Truth shall prevail." May we take that stand today in modern America. May we say truth shall prevail, regardless of what others say or do. May we stand for truth, speak the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, and be willing to defend the truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and I-295 Beltway. There's a benchmark 165-foot flagpole with Old Glory, the U.S. flag flowing 24/7. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing the entire staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God will do, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917. 831-0917. Have Pastor Davis with me today. We'll be talking about a subject that's very, very imperative, I believe, that we understand. Talking about a subject, the question is, the issue that we're wanting to answer today is, what would Jesus do? Pastor Davis, thank you for being here. Thank you for the privilege that we have of discussing these deep, 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 yet very, very, very important theological doctrinal issues.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood, for allowing me to be here on this invite. Amen. And I thank God for allowing us to come together.
Amen.
For such a time as this, because first I'll give honor to God, the Father, who's the head of my life. Amen. And the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say good morning to my bride of 37 years. Amen. Love you so much. Amen. Praying, amen, that God will continue, amen, to strengthen and keep you. Amen. Good morning to all of my family and friends, you know, various places that are listening on today. We hope and pray that you will get something from this broadcast. If you're not saved, we encourage you today to get Jesus in your life.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. But
it doesn't
if you
happen,
are saved.
Salvation doesn't happen by osmosis. It's a volitional invitation.
Amen. 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 But we want you to hold on. If you are saved, hold on to God's unchanging hand like never before.
Yes.
Because this broadcast is going to, amen, inform you through this broadcast. We want to inform you that Christians and the church are really right now in dire straits, mm-hmm. Dr. Youngblood, especially those, amen, who are taking a stand for the truth.
Yes.
Because as the Apostle Paul warned us, amen, in his writings, amen, John, amen, and Peter, amen, at various places in the Bible, amen, they said that false teachers would be here that's going to subvert the truth.
Yes.
When I looked up that word subvert, amen, the first three, amen, letters in that word sub, that means, amen, to go under.
Under.
So, you know, when you look at that vessel that the Navy has, a submarine, it's designed to go under the water.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is where, amen, these false teachers and those who are standing against the truth are trying to take us. They're trying to take us under.
Under the truth.
And it's all a master plan of Slewfoot.
That's right.
Because he realizes he has a short time here.
Absolutely.
And he wants to take everybody along with him who he can take.
Absolutely.
But on the other hand, you and I, Dr. Youngblood, we are trying to get that word out there today.
Amen.
Because we want to take as many to heaven.
Amen. That's right.
That can go along with
Absolutely.
Us on today. So we want you to be encouraged as we go through, amen, our lesson.
And
on
Pastor
today.
Davis, our listeners need to understand, it's going to sound, this broadcast, this issue discussion will sound super negative.
Amen.
But it's because we need to walk through the door of what is negative to get to the point of the positive of what God wants to do in and through the life of a surrendered individual. We're talking about today the LGBTQ sodomite homosexual agenda. We're talking about what is taking place today with that. And simply put, we find so many today in the pews, so many today in the pulpits that are simply denying the truth of the clear biblical teachings. In fact, Pastor Davis, the Pope, recently proclaimed that homosexuality is not sin. Of course, it should be understood that the Pope also declared that Jesus Christ is not deity. In fact, his statement is he's not deity. He's not God at all. That was the decision that the Pope made. In fact, that statement was a little over a year ago by the Pope. And just think how many people that he has influence over. One of the problems is Mark's Gospel, the 12th chapter, the 24th verse, Jesus told the Sadducees that they were ignorant of the Scriptures and the power of God. Ignorant of the Scriptures and the power of God.
My.
And may I say, Pastor, today, I believe that's the problem that we have with so many. I think people need to understand that multitudes that stand in the pulpits today, as you said a moment ago, they're simply ignorant of the Scripture and the power of God, and they're false teachers. And the Scripture says, the Apostle Paul speaking to young Timothy, the Scripture says that they'll come when they will not endure sound doctrine.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Is sound teaching, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. The teachers not with the itching ears, but the people with the itching ears want to hear that false teacher teaching that which pleases their ears.
Amen.
And
Amen.
We find so much of that today.
Well, you know, the Bible lets us know, Dr. Youngblood, there's nothing new under the sun.
That's right.
Because as you said that, you know, my mind went back to, amen, what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Acts, I think, was that, well, I know the Berean Christians searched the Scriptures daily
Chapter
to see whether those
book
things
of Acts.
Were so.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But he also had another group in there that was only ready to hear some new thing.
That's right. Some new doctrine. Some
that's
new
where
teaching.
We at
We're,
on today,
some,
amen.
Some,
so many don't know the truth, So they want to hear something new. And let me tell you something. Forget about that prosperity gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Because we need to understand that the only way that you can prosper, you have to first obey God.
Yes.
Your blessings come through your obedience
Absolutely.
To God. Amen.
And one of the things we're finding, Pastor, so many that refuse to believe the truth. I believe we have Tom on the line. Tom, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. Dr. Youngblood, I just thank you for all that you do. You just always cover all the pertinent facts. And I've noticed me or any of the listeners, we try, but we're not worthy to turn the pages for you. We would mess it up. But
your statements are humbling, and I am thankful to have the privilege of speaking the truth in love.
Well, I thank you for you and Dr. Glenn both. But, Dr. Youngblood, I've been asking people on the street, what's wrong with society today? And most of them will tell you, I don't know. But is it, I know you do know, is it we've done away with thou shalt not?
Oh, yes, absolutely. In fact, what we've done, Tom, if I can elongate your question by giving an answer, we have banned God. We have disobeyed God's word. We have simply left God out. This is the focus of where I'm talking today, is that we have preachers today that will stand and regurgitate some philosophical rhetoric from the pulpit, but not teaching the people, thus saith the word of God, verse by verse. We Amen. Find many pastors today, like Andy Stanley. We'll talk about Andy in just a moment. Andy Stanley that says, for example, the Ten Commandments are not relevant today for the Christians. He also said that we need to jettison, that means to cut loose, jettison the Old Testament. Andy Stanley recently said, the Bible is not to be revered. I'm going to give a quote from Andy Stanley. He said, it's like a safe that you put things in. You put important things in a safe. He said, you check into a hotel, you put your jewelry into the safe. It's not because safe is valuable, but because the jewelry is valuable, and therefore the Bible is just a place where things that are important go, and the Bible is not important. It's not relevant. We find Andy Stanley is now saying that the church should fully embrace the Sodomite community, the LGBT community, and welcome them into the church as active believers, active members, serving the Lord together as any other member. Now, Tom, that is simply contrary to the Word of God. It is antithetical to the Scripture, and it's because I believe, and I'm saying this, some will say, well, you know, preacher, you're supposed to love everybody. Well, let's just put it on the record now. I love Andy Stanley, but I detest his onerous, ignorant disregard, disrespect, and dissing of the Word of God. I don't know any other way to put it and make it any clearer of my position, not just with Andy, but multitudes across the nation. And on this broadcast, we're going to talk about the latest statistics of what denominations and how many in the evangelical group believe that the Sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ community, ought to be embraced into the churches. In fact, every denomination in some fashion has embraced that. So, Tom, it's a matter of going back to the truth.
Is it, Dr. Youngblood, you know, Moses led the children of Israel out of bondage with the Egyptians. He had to be a powerful orator to convince Pharaoh to let them go. So they tried for 400 years, but they didn't have the smarts to do it. But he did. But immediately when he got them away from Egypt, they started questioning and even threw God to the winds and started building an object of gold.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Andy falls in that group. He's building an object of gold. But again, I just thank the Lord that we've got you, Dr. Youngblood.
Well, brother, keep on praying that God will elongate and broaden our footprint, especially here in the state of Florida, with the broadcast that I believe is so vital for Christians to hear and heed. But Tom, thank you so much for your call. God bless you. Keep looking up. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take our next caller, we're going to take about 4 minutes. I have an audio clip from Andy Stanley's mouth. We played this audio clip yesterday. I believe it's necessary. It's vital. It's important that some that heard it yesterday, that you hear it again. And for those that did not hear it yesterday, for you to hear it today. Andy Stanley from his pulpit talking about the sodomite lifestyle, the LGBTQ. It is an excerpt out of about a 35 or 40 minute dialogue and discussion where someone else was taking him to task because of what he was saying. So I'm going to ask AJ to take a moment, plug that 4 minute audio clip in and let our listeners hear that. And then I'll come back and take our next caller.
Hey friends, you have gay relatives. You may have a gay son or daughter or granddaughter. You know, you do business with gay people. Gay people come to your church. You're not like, in fact, it's the opposite. It's like, I think they're gay. There's gay people here. It's great. I love our church. We're, you know, I mean, and if you're gay, I know, just be patient with us. We're weird. I know. But you understand because you're here because you love Jesus and you probably grew up in church and, you know, we're trying to figure this whole thing out. But at some point along the way, and this is a process, and I want to drill down on this one a little bit. In fact, I was going to read this one and say, good luck. Let's go to number 4, but that would be mean, okay? So personally, this is not a problem. You love people. You don't write people off because of their sexual preference. I mean, we all know how to love people. That's not it. But corporately, it is challenging, and it's challenging for good reasons. But we have to embrace this challenge, and we have to lead the way. In my experience, now, this is just my experience, okay? I'm just going to read what I wrote. If I could figure out how to get straight people as excited about serving and engaging as the gay men and women I know, we would have a volunteer backlog. That's my experience in our churches. Well, I'm a gay person. I'll just read it to you. A gay person, when I say gay men and women, okay, a gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you. A gay person who knows, you know what? I might not be accepted here, but I'm going to try it anyway. Have you ever done that as a straight person? Where do you go that you're not sure you're going to be accepted and you go over and over and over and over? Only your in-law's house. That's the only place you go where you know you're not completely accepted, but you go over and over and over, and it's because you have to. But other than the in-laws, what environment do you continue to step foot in knowing at any moment you may feel ostracized? No place. I'm telling you, the gay men and women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who've come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church, oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their heavenly Father, who did not answer the cry of their heart when they were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. God said no, and they still love God. We have some things to learn from a group of men and women who love Jesus that much and who want to worship with us. And I know the verses. I know the clobber passages, right? We got to figure this out. And you know what? I think you are. I think you wouldn't come to a conference like this or you wouldn't have come back, right? We are, and we'll be criticized for it. And there's no perfect way to do this. But I can give you a hint. You do what Jesus did. You know who Jesus started with? Jesus never started with theology. Jesus started with the people in front of him. And he went from there. I mean, you know, if your theology gets in the way of ministry, like if there's somebody you can't minister to because your theology, you have the wrong theology. Is that clear? And this is what drove the Pharisees crazy. It's like, how can you go there? Jesus is like, because they're there. That's why I'm going there. Yeah, but don't you know about them? She's like, I just don't see the world that way. Here's how I see the world. There are people lost to God, and there are people who've connected with God. So I just want to help disconnected people get connected. I'm a simple person. That's what I do. And I'm just telling you, the men and women I know who are gay, their faith and their confidence in God dwarfs mine. And so not only is there room, there's plenty of room. And we're going to figure that out. And you're going to figure it out. And if you don't, you can say goodbye to the next generation because they figured it out. Because it's personal. It's their friends. It's their good friends. It's their friends' friends. It's their parents' friends. So we can do this. Now, here's something I got to drill down on that is related.
one of the things, ladies and gentlemen, that I pray that you got from that, Andy Stanley referred to 1 Corinthians and Romans and Leviticus, and he says, those are the clobber verses. Those are the verses that you clobber somebody with. Those, if you put it in the Youngblood vernacular, those are the verses that you beat somebody in the head with. And he said, I know all of that stuff. He's calling the Bible stuff, all of that stuff. And then he said, Jesus didn't let theology get in his way. Well, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that's God come in the flesh that gave us the entire Bible, Old Testament, Genesis 1:1 through Revelation chapter 22. So all that you find from cover to cover, from in the beginning to the conclusion of the Bible, you find was given to us by the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the author of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. And so Jesus, in his confronting people in their sin, did not say to them, keep on in your sin, but just as the woman that was caught in adultery, he then healed her. He saved her, if you want to use the Youngblood vernacular. But listen to what Jesus said, go and sin no more. And when Jesus, as Andy Stanley referred to, went out to where the people were, he did not bring them into the church and say, continue in your sin that grace may abound. The Apostle Paul talked about that in the 6th chapter of Romans, and he says, God forbid. But ladies and gentlemen, we find Andy Stanley that's totally willfully are as dumb as a rock, ignorant of what the scripture says, and is trying to build a castle, if you please, in the sky with numbers, nickels, and noses to appease the lost people. Yes, sirree, we are to love the lost. We are to witness to the lost. We're to try to get the lost people saved and bring them into the body of Christ, and then understanding that the body of Christ is to be spotless and separate from the world and not part of the world. I believe we have Alan on the line. Alan, go with your question or comment, please.
Hey, Dr. Youngblood. As much as I agree, I have to respectfully disagree with this one. I'm going to be the one who opposes, in a respectful way. So I live in Jacksonville, and I go to the Church of 1122. Have you ever heard of that church?
Mm-hmm.
So I go to the Church of 1122, and our mission is we are a movement for all people, all meaning all, to come and discover and deepen a relationship with Jesus Christ. We have had homosexual people have come, have been brought to faith in Christ, and have redacted their former life. That's what, and I don't know if that's what, I mean, but Andy Stanley did say, and what I heard, he said, for them, the gay people who come to faith in Christ.
No, he didn't say
like
that.
They become born
again. Andy Stanley didn't say come to faith in Jesus Christ. Alan, listen, I want to agree with you. I believe that the church door should be open for anybody, whatever the sin, to come and hear the gospel and to get saved. But once they're saved, old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Jesus didn't say to the woman caught in adultery that I'm going to let you go and you keep on with your whoring, if you please, and your lifestyle. He said, go and sin no more. So if a person comes into the church, regardless of the background of sin, once they come to faith in Jesus Christ, their lives should change. If it does not, in fact, the 6th chapter of the 1 Corinthians, the 11th verse, after the Apostle Paul gave a list of 10 people, 10 categories of sin that would not go to heaven, would not go into the kingdom of God. After that, he said in verse 11, and such were some of you, but you've been washed. That's the word latreo. You've been cleansed. You've been made whole by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the goal is to get people saved. But if you get a person saved and he was a sodomite before, and after he gets saved he's a sodomite, then you're destroying the body of Christ. In fact, it's an impossibility for that to be so.
So are you saying that that's what he said? Like, that's, is that what he's pushing to, like, become saved but still continue in your sin?
Because, absolutely, yes, absolutely. He's embracing the sodomite lifestyle. In fact, Dr. J.D. Greer, the former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, said that homosexuality is no greater sin than gluttony. But listen, God did not destroy two cities and the plains about Sodom and Gomorrah because of gluttony. God did not destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because they were inhospitable, as the liberal theologians say today. He destroyed it because the act of sodomy, the act of sin, we would call it the LGBTQ community today. So, Alan, you're exactly right. Every church door, yours and ours and others, should be open for folks to come in and get saved. But salvation means a change of life, a change of attitude. That's what the word repent means, to turn from where you were going to where you ought to go, to turn from what you were doing to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. So thank you so much, Alan. Our time is up. We've got a one-minute top of the hour news break. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back.
To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange Park, Jacksonville. WAYL, St. Augustine. WATY, Folkston, Georgia. Online at ilovethetruth.com.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The World Health Organization makes it official COVID-19 no longer constitutes a global public health emergency. This morning's announcement marking a symbolic end to the devastating worldwide coronavirus pandemic. The U.S. job market did better last month than many economists had been expecting. Employers grew their payrolls by 253,000 jobs in April. That compared with 236,000 hires the month before. The unemployment rate ticked down a notch to 3.4%. It's one thing that congressional Democrats and Republicans agree on. The federal government defaulting on its debt would not be a good thing. But as of now, still no agreement on raising the government's debt ceiling, allowing it to borrow to keep on paying its bills. Wall Street, the Dow is up 446 points, and NASDAQ ahead 187. More details, SRNnews.com.
Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on two stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue, what would Jesus do or say? And that is a predicate to what we're talking about with the homosexual lifestyle, the LGBTQ agenda, and the open doors in so many churches. And I'll say with all due respect for our previous caller, Alan, I pray that you're still listening. Question or two that I need to ask you and the listeners, and this is not asked in a derogatory way, but would you want your little daughter, your little girl, your little boy to go into the bathroom and you've got a church full of sodomites that are still practicing sodomites that claim to know Jesus, claim to be saved, and yet still living the sodomite lifestyle? Would you want them to go into the restroom and one of the sodomites to attack them and to destroy their morals and ethics and values? Would you want that? I think not. I think that that's what we need to recognize. That's the reason, ladies and gentlemen, across the board, every church in America today, if they have any type of liability insurance, part of that is sexual misconduct. And that is because we have so much of this sexual misconduct taking place in our churches. And I believe it's solely because of the fundamental underlying that we've simply thrown the doors wide open to the morals and ethics and the values of an alley cat, if you please, and the world system that we're saying, come on in. We love you so much. You can do whatever you want to in the confines of the walls of what we call the church. In fact, before I take our next caller, I'm going to read just a few statistical article data from a major article. It says most U.S. Christian groups grow more accepting of homosexuality. Listen to these numbers, ladies and gentlemen. The head subheading says almost all Christian groups now more accepting of homosexuality. 58% of Catholics embrace the homosexuality. 56% of mainline Protestants agree with and embrace the sodomite lifestyle. 39% of the historically black Protestants accept and embrace the sodomite lifestyle. 26% of the evangelical Protestants embrace the homosexual lifestyle. 24% of Mormons say yes to embracing the sodomite lifestyle. 12% only 12% of Jehovah's Witnesses say that. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading from this article. Acceptance of homosexuality is rising across the broad spectrum of American Christianity, including among members of churches that strongly oppose homosexual relationships as sinful, according to an extensive Pew Research survey in the U.S. religious beliefs and practices. I'll read one other paragraph. Amid a changing religious landscape that has seen a declining percentage of Americans who identify as Christians, in other words, we're watching in America a plummeting number that identify as Christians, a majority of the U.S. Christians, 54%, now say that homosexuality should be accepted rather than discouraged by society. While this is still considerably lower than the shares of religiosity, religiously unaffiliated people, those that say they have no religious affiliation, 83% say that homosexuality should be embraced. And members of non-Christian faiths, members of non-Christian, in other words, religions that are non-Christian, 76% say that homosexuals and homosexuality should be embraced. This article further says, among Christians, this trend is driven partly by the younger church members, i.e. the airheads, if I can be blunt, those that are immature in the scripture, those that could not quote John 3:16 verbatim, those that believe that somehow, some way, that they've simply had an experience, or those that have leaped over pews, or those that have spoken in tongues, or those that have some by some means or methodology, they become a member of a church without saying yes to Jesus Christ. Those that are millennials in particular, those where 55% of the millennials say that there's no relevant truth, that everyone has their own source of or thoughts about truth. This article says, and I quote, among Christians, this trend driven partly by younger church members who are generally more accepting of homosexuality than their elder counterparts. For example, roughly 51% of evangelical Protestants in the millennial generation born between 1981 and 1996 say that homosexuality should be totally embraced by society, end quote. I believe we have Jim on the line. Jim, go over the question or comment, please.
Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood. Pastor Davis, how are you gentlemen doing today?
Doing well.
Very blessed.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. Alan Stanley asked one question. Where do I go every day that I'm not welcomed? My answer is a secular world. Mm-hmm. The second thing that I would like to state is I'm going to quote what Alan Stanley had said. He said, some of my gay friends are more, you know, spiritual, more religious than I am. Well, Paul, after he listed a long list of behaviors to the Corinthians, flat out said, such as some of you were, you cannot practice those abhorrent behaviors and claim Christianity. My ears don't itch. I know what I've read, and it speaks to me in my heart and my soul, and I know it to be wrong.
Absolutely. And we know that, Jim, because we know what the Word of God says. And you're referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9 and 10. And it it gives a list of what I call the no-fly list. You know, back a few years ago, the government put some on what they call the no-fly list. And there's a song that says, I fly away to glory. So there are a number of people, 10 different categories, the Apostle Paul listed that's on the no-fly list in the 6th chapter of 1 Corinthians. The fornicators, that's porneia, that's any sexual sin, sexual relationships outside of marriage, single or otherwise. In fact, that is a underlying word that's found there. Idolaters, those that worship anything but God. Adulterers, that is sexual relationship outside of marriage. And then effeminate, that talks about male lewdness, abusers of self with mankind. Both expressions are those of homosexuality that is talked about here. Thieves, those taking something that's not theirs. Covetous, craving for something that others have. Drunkards, that's use of alcoholic beverages. Revilers, always making fun of and are denying the work of God. Extortioners, using illegal methods for gain. And then the 11th verse, and such were some of you. The Apostle Paul said, if I can paraphrase, Jim, the Apostle Paul says that in the church of believers in Corinth, that multitudes were formerly fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of self with mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortionists. And in the middle of that, the fourth and fifth in that lineup of ten, some of you were homosexuals, some of you were sodomites, but it's a contrast. You've been washed. That word is latreo. You've been cleansed. You've been made whole. You've been saved. So the key to it is, Jim, it's not a matter of what a person was, because we're all sinners saved by grace if we've said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We're all sinners regardless of the type sin, but Paul said to the believers at Corinth, you have been saved. So there's a vast difference in being saved from your former sin and being in still in that sin and call yourself a Christian. It's an impossibility.
Yeah,
Pastor
Davis,
what do you say?
Amen. Well, and then Dr. Youngblood, just to add to what you just got finished saying, the Apostle Peter spoke out against that as well.
Mm-hmm.
In the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, he says, dearly beloved, I beseech you, he's asking, he's warning, as strangers and pilgrims to abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul.
Absolutely.
So what's that telling us right there?
Mm-hmm.
These kind of things should not be present in the life, because when he's speaking to the dearly beloved, he's talking about those who have said yes to Jesus Christ.
He's talking about the
that
church,
means,
the body of Christ.
Amen,
yes.
Amen. Now, these people have made a change.
Mm-hmm.
So in order to keep you from being tempted to go back into sin, he's telling them to abstain from fleshly lust, because what it does, it wars against their soul,
mm-hmm.
and they get to where they can't make the right decision whether they ought to go left or go right. Can
that's
I
right.
put it that way?
Right, absolutely.
So that's what we need to know on today, amen. The Bible speaks against, amen, these things in various areas.
Yes.
You can go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, and it said the same thing. The law was not made for a righteous man, but he goes down and describes for the unrighteous, for the unholy, for abusers of themselves with mankind,
mm-hmm.
for the effeminate. For now, all these different people are already listed. Well, not people. Let's say not people,
Acts.
But it's lifestyles.
Mm-hmm. It's lifestyle.
Amen. So it speaks out against those type of lifestyles that should not be present in the lives of those who said that they are now believers in Jesus Christ.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Jim, what say you?
I don't have any hatred or malcontent towards the homosexual community. I have a sense of, I know who I am. I'm a saved Christian. Jesus Christ is my Lord. But at the same time, I know that I am a sinner, a despicable
mm-hmm.
individual in God's eyes, a filthy rag. I understand that. I want those that embrace that lifestyle to know that there is wages or consequence of that sin. And I want to pray to God to give me patience and wisdom to deliver that message with love and without
Jim, one little
heart.
Parenthetical footnote that I'll add to what you said that sounds like it is differing, but it is supplementing what you have said. Yes, we're all wretched sinners saved
yes.
by grace, but as God sees the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 and following, as God sees the church, we are spotless. We are righteous because we're robed in the righteousness of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, therefore, he sees us as spotless, without blemish, as the bride of Christ. And so my question, Jim, would be in closing thoughts with your communication. How is it possible for one that's still practicing a sodomite lifestyle to then be in that group that Jesus Christ calls his bride that is spotless and without blemish? It's an impossibility. It's an impossibility. It is a deception by the demons of hell let out in the world today through the so-called Christian churches and denominations. I'm looking at an article, Jim, and I'll let you go with this. Nearly half of the LGBTQ adults are religious, according to a U.S. study. Almost half the LGBTQ adults in the United States of America are religious, according to a recent report from the UCLA School of Law, Williams Institute. Of nearly 16,000 respondents from the Gallup poll, 47% were either high or moderate in their religion. 27% are classified as moderately religious, 20% are as highly classified as highly religious, and just over half, 53%, are not religious at all. According to the author of this report, the 5.3 million religious LGBTQ adults in America are found across the age spectrum in every racial, ethnic group, among married and single people, among those who are parenting, and among rural and urban dwellers, end quote. So what we're finding, Jim, is a greater and greater emphasis on embracing the world to bring the world into the church with the world's morals and ethics and values, which are plummeting like a lead balloon in a gallon of water. We're finding the morals and ethics plummeting simply because of the churches losing attendance and the pastors wanting the numbers, nickels, and noses, willing to embrace and lie to the people in order to get the numbers, nickels, and noses and fill the pews and build for themselves a reputation that's all-inclusive as the world sees it. Jim, all we can do is keep praying, keep on looking up, realizing our redemption is drawing near. Thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today.
May I add one point, sir?
Yes, sir.
Your addendum's correct there. That's my great hope. I agree with that. There was no other way except for the grace of God and Jesus Christ. So
yes,
I get that part. But no, there's no way they could practice that. Their eyes are open. They're not seeing. Their ears are hearing, but they're not hearing. And that's all there is to it.
That's right. Absolutely.
Amen. God bless both of you, gentlemen. Have a good
Thank
day.
Thank you for Amen. Your call. Amen. God
and,
bless you.
And then, Dr. Youngblood, I mean, let's make it perfectly clear. You and I both invite them to come to our church.
To get saved, but not to actively participate and take
That's
part
the
in
thought,
the church. Absolutely.
Right there. You are welcome to come to our churches. If you're gay, lesbian, homosexual, you are welcome.
But if I see you walk in the bathroom with a kid in the church, I'm going to wring your neck.
But you cannot continue to practice that lifestyle.
That's right. Not in church.
And become a member of the body of Christ. No way. That's not biblical.
Well, you have to look at, and you're exactly right. What is the church?
Amen.
It is the ecclesia. It is a called out group of those that have said yes to Jesus Christ, that have repented of sin, received Christ as Savior, and are walking with in the Word. And that's not what's found in the Andy Stanley mindset today. I believe I have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes. Good afternoon, Dr. Youngblood.
God bless you. Thank you for calling.
I got like 3 points, and I get off the point. I mean, I get off the phone. If God does not judge us, He's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah.
Absolutely.
Okay. And one more point. Two more. When America tried to force Japan, because they are our allies, to have same-sex marriages, and Japan does not want to do that. And I found out that if a minor want to have consensual sex with an adult, that's what I heard on the internet. I'm like, are they going crazy? Are we going stupid?
Well, it's... Kenneth, if I can jump in, it's the United Nations that's pushing and promulgating the fact that adults should be able to have sex with minors because minors can give consent. Minor is not of age, not of mind, not of mentality, not of emotion or understanding to be able to give consent. It should be considered as a rape. It should be considered as that which is illegal and unholy, unbiblical, and ungodly and be prosecuted as such. I believe a person that would do that need to be locked up for the rest of their lives. And yet that's being pushed today. And some states are trying to amend their laws, state of California, Oregon, and so forth. They're trying to amend their laws to allow that. And across the nation, we'll see that go as a juggernaut because it's now being pushed by the United Nations. But Kenneth, all we can do is keep praying, keep studying the word, keep standing for truth, understanding that in Matthew 12, verse 24, Jesus told the Sadducees that they were ignorant of the scriptures and the power of God. And that's what I can conclude today, that multitudes of Christians are ignorant of the scripture and the power of God. Many pastors are ignorant of the scriptures and the power of God. So we keep praying, keep looking up, Kenneth. Thank you so much for your call. God bless you as you have a good day. Pastor Davis, we're talking about this thing that is, what would Jesus do or say? We're looking at it. Research reveals that, I call it an absolute abysmal finding. Simply put, that the overwhelming majority of the so-called Christians are completely ignorant of what the scripture says about homosexuality. That's the only reason. That I don't know of any other way, Pastor, that the numbers that I just read from the statistical data could say what it says about churches and Christians embracing homosexuality. They're ignorant of what the scripture says. So just what does the Bible say? That's where we need to go. What does the Bible say? What is the whole premise today in relationship to that? What is the reason today that the LGBTQ community, we should ask the question, what would Jesus say or what would he do? Andy Stanley, for example, at the North Point Community Church, stresses the point that Jesus met with and ate with the sinners. And yes, he did. He met with and ate with the sinners. But when Jesus saved, delivered from sin, he said, go and sin no more. In fact, time will not allow us, Pastor, to go to all of the scriptures, but in John 8, verses 3 through 11, the woman that was caught in adultery, he said, go and sin no more.
Amen.
She says, where are those that condemn? He asked her, where are those that condemn you? She said, I don't see them. He said, neither do I, but go and sin no more.
Amen.
And that ought to be the challenge for every child of God today, for every pastor in particular, to say, okay, you can get saved as a homosexual, yes, but go and sin no more. Stop doing what you're now doing and live a life that is different. May I say today, ladies and gentlemen, the woman caught in adultery, the law of Moses commanded that she be stoned to death. And Jesus said, go and sin no more. So how can we actively practice the sodomite lifestyle and be considered a Christian and serving in the New Testament church? Pastor Davis, that's an impossibility.
It's totally impossible, Dr. Youngblood. And I hope and pray that God will take the blinders off of some of these people's eyes.
Yes.
And off their hearts as well, because the scripture says, amen, that they have gone, and I believe I read this in 1 Corinthians also, in the way of sin for so long until the small g God of this world has blinded their hearts and their minds that they should not believe the truth.
That's right.
Even the scripture lets us know, before a person comes to Christ, just like Moses had the veil over his face, they have a veil over their hearts.
Totally.
And when they come to Christ, God removes the veil so that they can receive the truth.
Yes.
This is what needs to happen, amen, because I'm afraid, I'm mighty afraid. I have a book that I've been reading called Pagan Christianity, What's Wrong with the Church?
Yes.
And I tell you what, it's very deep. I mean, I'm not finished with it yet. I'm just kind of breaking through the first few pages of it. But the author of that book was asking questions, are we doing it right in the church today? As far as our services, our method of serving God, are we doing it the way that the Bible prescribes for us to do it? In other words, are we doing what's pleasing to God? In other words, are we carrying out our own agendas, or are we inserting our own ideas into what we think is right?
And for the most part, the answer to that question is no.
Amen.
Most people today are having a rock and roll show, or they're having folks like Andy Stanley. And listening to and watching that video clip and that audio clip with the audio portion we played a portion of a moment ago, Andy Stanley did not one time read a verse of scripture. Andy Stanley did not one time go to any of the admonitions and warnings about sodomite lifestyle in the scripture. In fact, that reminds me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22, the scripture says, abstain from all appearance of evil.
Amen.
Abstain from it. Leave it alone. Everything that looks like is evil, wrong, or wicked, abstain from it. Leave it alone.
And the
walk
Apostle
away from
Paul
it.
Also said, let everyone, not some, he said, let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Yes.
What's that telling us?
That's right.
Amen. That's speaking so, I mean, it's just, that's so plain until a wayfarer, like the scriptures say, and a fool don't have a reason to err.
Yeah.
So we have to know and understand God's word means exactly what it says. It doesn't, he didn't give it to us for us to compromise, to pick out. This is not Burger King. You can't have it your way.
That's right.
Amen. When we read this word, we have to do exactly what it says. We need to obey it.
Absolutely.
So the problem, what we're seeing, Dr. Youngblood, in short, because of what I read in this book, I'm not finished yet. Like I said, I'm trying to get more out of it. But basically what the author is saying, that pastors have compromised so much with this word until it has led to a compromised lifestyle in the church.
Yes.
So people are living in error because of that.
It's bringing the world's habits, the world's culture, the world's morals into the church, rather than the church being the salt and light that we're supposed to be.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Reminds me of a text, and I'm looking at it in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 22. Flee also youthful lust, but follow after righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart.
Amen.
That's an admonition from the scripture that ought to be followed. Avoid everything that looks evil and wicked. So we need to go back to what is the church? The church is the body of baptized believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. The church, the ecclesia, are those that have said yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. Pastor Davis, I'm just going to go over some things quickly for the wrap-up of our broadcast today. The Bible clearly teaches that homosexuality is sin. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're not driving, write these verses down. At your leisure, prayerfully go to them and read them. Genesis 19, 1 through 13. By the way, that's in the Genesis text where in verse 24 and 25, where it says God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah with calling down fire. And yet you have the loose, lax, lost liberals, those that are anemic in the word, those that are ignorant of the word, those that intentionally disavow the word, say that God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah because of a lack of hospitality, that they were just not hospitable at Sodom and Gomorrah, and so God sent down fire. Ladies and gentlemen, that's a lie. It is not to be believed. Leviticus 18, 22, Romans 1, verse 26 and following, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 9, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10. All of these, ladies and gentlemen, are admonitions that are clearly stated in the scripture, but Andy Stanley and others are simply disavowing, and he says those verses are simply the cudgels by which somebody is beaten. And he says, I know all of that stuff. It's called God's word. It's not stuff. It's the word of God. And we need to adhere to it. Homosexuality is an act of disregarding and disobeying God's law, according to Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following. And you find in Romans chapter 1, the scripture says that God ultimately gave them over to a reprobate mind.
Amen, amen.
And ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility for the LGBTQ community, as it is called, to be an active part of a local New Testament church. It is defying the law of God. It is disobeying the word of God. One of the acts of rebellion against God is the LGBT community today. God's word teaches that all homosexuals will die and go to a devil's hell lest they say yes to Jesus Christ, repenting of their sins and turning to Christ. Many preachers and teachers today teach God's love for all sinners. Yes, he does. But ladies and gentlemen, he does not want to allow you to stay in your sin. Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. But remember, ladies and gentlemen, it's a closing thought. When Jesus went into the temple, he loved those folks in the temple that were the money changers. But when he went into the temple, he loved them, but he took a bullwhip, and as I use the term, Pastor Dave, he beat the snot out of them.
Amen.
he said, you can't come into the temple of the Lord Jesus of God. And so also today we need to say the same thing in relationship to those that come out of the world with the Sodomite lifestyle. All sinners will somehow, some way try to justify their sin, rebelling against God. God's word stands. It's unalterable. It's unchangeable. It's unambiguous. It's very, very clear. that the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle will die and burn in a devil's hell lest they repent and say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord.
Amen.
God
Amen.
Turned the sodomites over to a reprobate mind. But I say thank you to the Lord that sin can be repented of, a life can be surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and forgiven, and a person can be saved, saved, saved. Pastor Davis, I am thankful for this privilege for us to share this very important issue with our listeners today. Ladies and gentlemen, I pray that you have understood what we've said, and I pray that you tune in next time as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM.